Welcome to Intuitive Transformations with your host, Sylvia Henderson, and discover tools, wisdom, and inspiration that will empower you to transform your life. Sylvia is an intuitive life coach and energy healer with a growing practice that is focused on empowering others to be more of who they want to be. For the next hour, join Sylvia and explore and unravel anything in the way of you creating the life that you would love to live on the Om Times Radio Network.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intuitive Transformations radio show, the place where you will find tools that you can use to change and transform your life every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Om Times Radio Network, the voice of consciousness at omtimes.com. I'm Sylvia Henderson, your host, and if you would like to learn more about me and the work that I do, please visit my website at intuitivetransformations.net. That's intuitivetransformations with an S, .net. From there, you can download my free 20-minute healing audio called Healing Fear During Uncertain Times just by joining my email group. And this audio will actually support you in releasing worry, fear, and anxiety, especially during times of uncertainty. So today is Thursday, April 20th, 2017, and with only 20 days into the month of April, there are many sensitive souls who are reporting experiencing waves of emotions this month, pretty much at epic proportions. Now, whether you attribute these emotional wide swings to astrological shifts, as there are some major planets moving in and out of retrograde, or the recent high spike in the Schumann resonance, which is the frequency of the Earth's electromagnetic field, suffice it to say, for those of us who are sensitive to energy and for those who are just recently waking up to being sensitive to energy, it all feels very much like we've been put in a washing machine on spin and then hit by a 16-wheeler truck and then maybe run over again by that same truck, only this time in reverse. I mean, it's really been a tough emotional ride for many, many people this month. Yesterday, I even got hit by an emotional tsunami that I didn't expect or even see coming. Fortunately, I have some tools that I was able to reach for, and that got me out of it very quickly. But boy, it was really intense, and it was really old stuff that I thought I'd even already dealt with and released and forgiven. But I feel like we're getting to the bedrock of some of our emotional content, especially those of you who have been working on doing your work, your inner work, for some time. If you're wondering why you're getting slammed by another emotional wave, you know, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of it as we continue, as the vibration on the planet continues to raise and as consciousness continues to wake up. So if you are feeling challenged, download that free audio and use it. Seek emotional support from, you know, whoever you feel most called to seek emotional support from, whether it's a healer or a therapist. Make sure they're spiritually aware. And then do whatever you can to support yourself during this time, because to be honest, we are really just getting started. And this is, again, about releasing our old wounds and our old stories, because this is how we heal our lives and the world around us as well. And I also want to invite you to use an affirmation, which I think might help you soften that emotional intensity just a little bit. Every little bit helps, let me tell you. And you can make this your daily heart-centered intention by simply focusing your attention on your heart chakra, or the center of your chest, and just, you know, close your eyes, take a deep breath in, let it out, and then just speak to your inner guidance, speak to Source and say, Divine Healing Source of all that is, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping me to heal myself in exactly the way, I'm sorry, for helping me to love myself, because that's really what this is more about, for helping me to love myself in exactly the way that you love me, with unconditional love and acceptance. That's a beautiful way for you to start your day, a beautiful way for you to end your day. And it's a great it's a great tool that you can use, that you can focus on throughout your day, especially if you're feeling some emotional turbulence, because unconditional love and acceptance is really what humanity is trying to remember during this grand awakening of oneness on the planet. And when we finally awaken to the truth that we are all one, then we will also recognize that only unconditional love and acceptance is present, and that it is an inside job and the true roadmap to real joy, authentic happiness, and sustainable inner peace. So as all of humanity continues to shift into this new awareness, our old fears, anger, and self-hatred are also rising up to the surface, which is why I'm super excited to share with you my guest for today's show. Because it is our core belief systems about life, about our life, and about ourselves that create our reality. And so as we release these unresolved hurts and wounds and pain, guess what? Our reality begins to mirror back a life without those hurts and pains being revisited over and over again through our experiences. So I get really excited when I get to showcase a book and an author who offers effective tools that can transform our core beliefs that hold us back from being able to create a life that we truly enjoy living. And today, I get to do just that. My guest for today is psychotherapist, Dr. Hujan Zain, and she has written a wonderful book which explains in detail how you can actually reset your life using a process which she created called Awareness Integration Method. In addition to being a psychotherapist, Dr. Zain is also a public speaker, an author, and the creator of the Awareness Integration Psychotherapeutic Model. Dr. Zain's specialty is helping her patients with intimate relationships, addictive behaviors, depression, anxiety, PTSD, and domestic violence issues. She is the founder, CEO, and the clinical director for the Personal Growth Institute, an organization that offers psychotherapy services to the multicultural and multilingual population in Southern California. Dr. Zain speaks at many academic institutions, including UCLA, USC, UCSB, CSLB, MIT, and Harvard University. She is often called upon by the media for her expertise, and she is the host of her own internet TV shows. One is called Inner Voice and the other, My New Life. And she is here with us today to talk about her brand new book, Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. Dr. Hujan Zain, thank you for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sylvia, for the opportunity, and hello to all of your wonderful listeners. And I'm excited about having a great conversation with you.
I am so excited, too. And before we dive deeply into your book, and I know we only have about 3 minutes before our first break, but I would love for you to begin sharing some of your backstory, because you had a very interesting childhood and you've led a very interesting life. For starters, you were born in Iran and you came to the United States alone and by yourself at the age of 12. So what was that like for you, and who were you as this 12-year-old girl and that decided, I'm going to leave my country and I'm going to go to this other country and not know anyone and begin a new life? And how did that experience attribute to who you have become today as an adult?
The choice was made pretty much by my parents, my mother, to send me out, because I think it was a little bit more fashionable at that time to send your children out to study. But I got to choose the U.S. I could go to France or U.S. And for some intuitive reason, I just chose U.S. And I think that I chose U.S. because it's the land of opportunity, knowing that I can connect and move forward with whatever that I wanted. It was scary, obviously. Sometimes when I look at the teenager that I work with at age 12, and I'm like, wow, that's how old I was when I came here. But it also showed me how we are so connected and reliant upon each other, that none of us can get anywhere except with connecting with each other. And there were a lot of amazing human beings who took me in and allowed me to move forward. And sometimes when I go through my ups and downs and say, well, you know, you cannot trust humanity. And then at times I look back and I said, all I did was trust and just kind of jumped to another country, to another language, to another group and said, take care of me and I will take care of myself and you. And we all did it together. So it was almost like a blind trust of myself and the humanity of just connecting and moving forward and going up and down until figuring out what it is that I really wanted to do.
Well, what's interesting is that up and down experience, even though there were challenges embedded in that, you still have that tenacity to continue forward. And so that, I have to say, that's amazing. And I love how you really are highlighting how you really learned about the importance of connection, because that's what relationships are all about. And really, when I was reading through your book, I felt that everything that you focused upon was about repairing our relationships, repairing our relationships with ourselves, with how we viewed our life in many different aspects and how it presents. So when we return after the break, we're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Zane, and we're going to talk about her brand new book, Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You don't want to miss this, so please stay tuned for more. We'll be back in just a few moments.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I did the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Sylvia Henderson with the Intuitive Transformations Radio Show on OmTimes.com. And I have with me today my guest, Dr. Fujian Zane, If you're just tuning in, I want you to make sure when this is available for download, you'll want to start at the beginning of this, because she just shared before the break her journey as a 12-year-old coming to the United States from Iran and what she learned through that process. And one of the things she learned was really the importance of connection. And so, Dr. Zane, you've been practicing as a psychotherapist since 1990, and you're well-trained in a wide range of psychotherapeutic methods, everything from traditional talk therapy to EMDR and hypnosis. So what caused you to reach outside of the box and to create your own process, the awareness integration method?
I had worked with a lot of coaching world and the ontology world of looking at who we are as being and how we can set up goals and move forward and create our being the way we want to. And then I also saw that no matter how much we kept creating, that as long as what was created by our parents, by our society, by our childhood, by our own perception of the story we made up in our life, in our head, about ourselves and the world, was constantly creeping in and sometimes sabotaging us. Like, I would work with people in a deep, deep psychotherapeutic level, and one particular memory that really attempted to traumatize them, whether it was a real trauma or was it perceived trauma of somebody, you know, their mother was not available and they took it in as they were abandoned, or real trauma such as abuse and sexual abuse and neglect and all of that. And saw that no matter how much we went back and worked through those memories and looked upon catharsis and letting go, somehow the story we made up as that child was not letting go. And so it kept creeping. It was almost like different parts of us got separated in order for us to survive. But it kept being separated. It's like there was no other skill to go back and integrate them and become whole. And the ones that were separated, they kept attempting to be integrated. And self-sabotage and keep bringing it back into our life was almost like a subconscious attempt to become whole. It's like, hello, I'm here, remember me, work with me, because if you don't work with me and take care of this part, I'm going in to show up. You can't just leave this part alone and be all successful without me. So what I got was bringing the best of all the world that was out there, which I learned from major, major, amazing, brilliant psychotherapists and philosophers, and looked at in my sessions after 25 years, what parts were working. So taking cognitive piece from the cognitive behavioral, REBT, taking the body and mind from all of those theory, taking emotions from the emotional theories, and then trauma-based, because obviously we work a lot with traumas, with EMDR and hypnosis, and then bringing it into the envisionment of the ontological work, and now moving it forward in creating a goal, a way of being, a conscious way of creating who we are, choosing who we are, and then setting it up. However, I got it that because we were now cleaned up inside, that it was so much easier and more effortless in creation of who we are and keep coming back and creating the conscious self versus all of the unaware subconscious self that we were reliving every day.
Well, you know, and that's what I love about this is that when I was reading through your process, I'm like, this makes so much sense to me, because it really is those stories, and I love how you said that we make up as children, because as little ones, no one really explains to us the experiences that we have in our lives, you know, and so we're left to our own devices to create a story to explain why something occurred and how to define what occurred. So I mean, is this part of the ego needing to understand itself, to feel safe? Why do we hold on to these stories with dear life?
Mm-hmm. I think to survive, Sylvia. I think that the human brain, like any animal brain, stores information and then categorizes it in order to survive the next piece. So obviously our brain is more developed, so we have more skills in retaining information, categorizing information based on pretty much is it more going toward pleasure or is it removing me from pain? And then I subcategorize, and the more that my brain gets complex, I subcategorize it in a more complex way. And we generalize. We make something which is bad and say, oh, let me generalize it so I don't put myself into that mess again and I know how to handle it if something comes up. So there's the signal in our system that says, don't go there anymore. This type of people are bad, or this type of, you know, if you ever love someone, they will go away. So don't ever love someone because you will be pained afterwards. So when we generalize these things in order for us to survive any type of pain, what we also do is limit ourselves. And in those essences, we make up stuff about ourselves and the world. Now, you know, in the world of neuroscience, we still haven't figured out how we perceive and make meanings. We all know we do, but we don't know why one person or even twins in the same circumstances, in the same scenario, one would make up one story about themselves and the world versus the other. And how come one might create pleasure and the other one might create pain from the same issue? That we don't know yet, but it's certainly we know the result happens, and basically in order to survive. But we create a life of survival of what we thought it is versus living a life of what is really here and we can experience, because we consistently have limited ourselves into the stories we've created for ourselves.
Wow, and how much freedom does that give when we can get out of this constant chronic survival mode into actually experiencing life? So then we can come from a place of enjoying it and being at peace with it instead of always feeling under attack or in hyper alert. So early in your book, you do provide these 9 basic fundamental principles of the awareness integration method. Would you mind just briefly talking about what those 9 principles are and, you know, naming them and why they are each important?
Sure. I think the first one is to be able to really capture that there is no reality, and that the reality is something that I'm obviously observing and perceiving. And I think we get that also from quantum physics at this point, and most of the philosophical aspects, that there is no reality. So sometimes we get so bogged down about righteousness, about this is who I am and I'm not going to change, or this is how the world is, or this is how people are. And then we deal with the reality that's in front of us as if it's a fixated object concept, versus if we really get that reality is also fluid, it's something we made up, and we can shift our own reality. We can't shift everybody else's reality, but I can shift my own reality by the way that I look at things and perceive things. Stuff happens in life. I'm not in control of what happens. I'm not even barely in control of most of my own body. But what I can be in control of is where do I put my attention to? And that is something that I can definitely control. So knowing that reality is perceived, I will not get caught into it, and I would work with the workable reality that works toward the value system of whatever I choose to be. The second one is every human being has the capacity and the potential to learn the skills to just be happy and have a successful life. And we see that around the world. We see people with the worst concepts of what has happened in their life. I've been sexually abused. I've been abandoned. I've immigrated at age 12 alone. I've graduated high school at 15. I went to college. I did everything on my own. I put myself to school. I've gone through marriages and divorces. And I'm still the one who is capable of recreating my life to create, beside all that has happened and the world brought to me, I can still feel successful, be successful, and move forward. And everyone can. Everyone has that capacity to do that. The third one is We all learn our skills through physical, psychological development, our own experiences, our parents mirroring us, teachers, peers, media. That's really the world that gives us at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So someone who was born in a royalty experiences the world in a very different way than someone who was born in a poverty in a third world country. Then they both have the capacity and can learn the skills to be successful and, you know, be there and top of their game. And we know that when we look at the world and people who have successful lives, when they talk about their life, they come from all facets. That's what made us at the beginning. And then yet, if we're responsible at knowing that all the information was given to us, the experience was there, and then I made up my own experience at it, and then I know how I can co-create my reality with the world is how it would get me to success. The fourth one is the human being perceives and creates meaning internally for everything that happens there. And therefore, if they can be responsible for this type of meaning, that they move away from the victimization. And you're not going to get anywhere with the powerlessness of victimization versus if you're responsible that, yeah, I made that up. I put that meaning on it. And I can make anything else up, and I can put any other meaning that I want on it, too, that works for me and people around me. The fifth one is human beings store experiences cognitively, emotionally, and somatically. And the unintegrated experiences yearn to be integrated. You know how animals, Sylvia, when they go through a trauma, they stand there and shake off all of the trauma and then go on their merry way because they have to move on to the next level and the next level of survival, right? I mean, they have to be able to maintain getting food and not being eaten up by another animal, be able to sleep, and they play and they connect and they, you know, have sex with each other, create again. I mean, this is what they do, all animals, all day. Well, that's exactly pretty much what we do as animals all day too. But what we do is we don't let go of traumas. We hold them. And the holding is mostly because of trying to protect ourselves for the future. But those parts are not going to go away until they're healed. So we also have to learn how to shake them up and heal them and release them from our bodies also. And then how to go and find those memories is important because all the studies show we fabricate memories over and over again. Every time we go back and revisit a memory, we can fabricate it all over again.
Yes. I'm going to stop you right there, Dr. Zane, because we're going to go into a break. When we return, we'll continue this conversation and the rest of those nine basic foundational principles. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hey, let me ask you something. Would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? Would you seat them beside a lit fireplace or by the deep end of a pool? One last question. Would you seat your child in a car seat that's not correct for them? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, we are back. And Dr. Zane, I apologize. I know that you were on step five. I just want to briefly go over the first of these five basic foundational principles and let me know if I get this correctly, because the first one is there really is no reality, and you did a beautiful job explaining that. And then also that we are all capable of recreating our lives. And then the third one is we learn the skills of living from others, but even that can be transcended. And we are responsible for creating our behaviors. We are the ones that are creating our behaviors. It's not being done to us. It's not about reacting to others. It's all an inside job. And then human beings have not learned how to let go of traumas out of trying to protect themselves from re-experiencing the trauma again. It's more of a protective mechanism. Did I get those okay, or did you want to elaborate
Absolutely.
On those? Great. And then
Absolutely.
Could you...
And then what happens is that when in this model we first create the awareness of how we feel, how we think, how we behave, and the impact of that, and then how we bring the other projection of everybody else's thought, emotion, behaviors, and the identity that we create, and then we find the core beliefs, the negative ones, and through a particular way of a body, mind, emotional aspect, we go to the original memory and release and re-meaning it. You know, we gave it a meaning, we'll re-meaning it as if someone who's an adult here and passed through and survived that trauma, reminding that part of us that, hey, I made it. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got the skills now. Come on, you can come out of the closet and I'll love you and I'll give you that unconditional love. And I'm here as an adult to protect you. Don't worry. You don't need to hide anymore. Then that on the sixth principle, it says that the unintegrated body, emotion, and belief system is released, in that trauma is released, the negative charge is released, and it becomes part of us. It's almost like our inner child finally grows up to the rest of us, to who we are, so we can be a whole person with our emotions and thoughts always there, and our body is being utilized as a mechanism of action and a signal-giving concept. And then the seventh one is that through self-awareness and then the integration, we can create a conscious choice of who we want to be. What values do I want to live by? What emotions do I even choose to have more often? What belief systems, what core belief systems would I choose to have? What kind of actions do I choose to subscribe? I, as a two-year-old, when I got angry, I could bite and I could kick and I could yell and scream. Do I still need to do that really at 56? I mean, I can still get angry, but how can I shift my anger and listen to the message that the anger has and behave in either communicative or different ways in handling what I need to do? I don't need to do the same thing I did at two. I can choose different ways of, you know, thinking, feeling, and behaving. And then eight is new skills can be learned and practiced in a neutral and positive environment, because the negative energy was taken away. And then that conscious intentionality can be envisioned and desired, and we could create feedback loops such as collages, different, you know, musics, different things from outside that will constantly remind us of the value, like a mission that we created for ourselves about a certain values and emotions and beliefs and actions that we say I want to live by. So if I say in my intimate relationship, I want, you know, I'm declaring and committed to create a loving and, you know, amazing, passionate, joyous relationship. The first time my partner does something that totally pisses me off, I can choose to react to it and be with it from being loving and joyous and passionate and still come through and clear whatever it is that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I feel is so powerful about your process, is bringing someone to that place of neutrality. That is that non-judgmental place. That allows you to be curious. That allows things to to really be something beyond something good or something bad. It allows it to be something more novel, and that might actually, if you're allows more openness to, even if it does feel like it's off kilter, you can learn from it instead of going to this fight and flight with it. So I found that really very powerful. And so with,
like you said, mm-hmm. Sylvia, you said unconditional love and acceptance, that this is the era of that. And it's so true. And through the awareness integration, one of the pieces that I really found, and that's why the research we've done, it showed that it minimized depression 76% and minimized anxiety 60% and raised self-esteem. It has to do with your, because of awareness in all aspects of us and looking at our best skills and our gremlins and then accepting them and then going and healing our own self in that space, we create more than anything unconditional love and acceptance for ourselves first. And when we're able to do that, then that's where we can be a source of that for others in the world around us.
So I want you to know I'm jumping up and down and cheering inside because I've been beating that drum for a while. And yes, that is really how it is done. So I am so excited that you, as a professional psychotherapist, that you've developed this work, you're sharing it with other psychotherapists, and you're offering it to everyone in the world through this wonderful book that you've provided, because you do such an eloquent job walking people through this process in a very detailed way that really does allow them to very consciously go through the steps versus just reading these exercises and saying, yeah, I did that. I did one. I did three. It's not about that. It's about how, I love how you walk people through very consciously through every area of their life with these very powerful 12 questions, because there is something very magical in the power of inquiry. When you begin to ask different questions, when you get out of the why is this happening to me, the why me, you know, which always leads to a conclusion that there must be something wrong with me or it wouldn't be happening to me, it opens the door for real change to happen. So one of the things that I really cued into as I was reading your book, even in the very first chapter, is where this process, the awareness integration, is really about going back to an impactful memory through three different avenues. One is the emotion itself, and the second is the location in the body where this emotion is stored, and also then the core belief attached to that memory. And I thought that was ingenious because, yeah, that's how we store information, is it's like we have an experience, we attach an emotional content to that experience, and then it is stored in the physical body. So can you talk a little bit about why these 12 questions are so amazing and effective?
I remember doing EMDR for about 15 years, and it was amazing to me and how traumas were removed. I mean, it's a magical tool. It is magical. And I kept looking at what's going on beyond the right hemisphere, left hemisphere, going back and forth. There was an aspect of looking at making sure that you had all these elements of the belief system and then the emotion and where is it in the body and then the positive concept and releasing it. So the releasing came from either, you know, eye movement or tapping or the audio. But beyond that, even if we didn't do all of the release, what was really interesting to me as I worked for 15 years with EMDR and trauma with people is that just because we found some parts of it, it did not alleviate the meaning. And therefore, if the meaning was never changed into the trauma stayed that way. And what I also noticed is that if the trauma, like I got traumatized at age 2 and I made something up about me, like I'm bad, I went with I'm bad to school at age 6 and I created another trauma on top of that with my peers at school or in academic. And then I went to, you know, relationship, a teenager. I took that I'm bad right over there and I created another trauma on top of it. So, and then I went to work, I did the same thing. So what I would do is like have this not only in one layer, but I would have it as a fabric of my personality in all areas of my life. So just going back one way to go to one memory and bring it was not sufficient enough. So that's why I needed to look at what was important. And what was important, I remember, Sylvia, one day I was sitting in a cruise, and this gentleman who was a waiter came in and brought some drinks for me, and then he turned around and walked away. And when he walked away, my heart sank. And I kept looking at him, and I kept crying, and my heart sank. And I'm sitting there, you know, my psychologist and psychotherapist brain keeps telling me, Fujian, you don't know this man. You have no emotions for this man. What is this intense emotion that's coming up? And I kept saying, I don't know, but I want him to come back. And I found myself for the 10 minutes walking and watching this man, which I never knew before. So I just said, okay, let me just go. Where is this in my body? It was in my chest. I started looking and feeling it, and it's like, well, what's going on? What is the emotion? And then I was like, what am I experiencing, and what am I making it mean? It's like, I'm abandoned, because it turned around and left. I'm abandoned. And then my brain went into this, oh, it must have because my parents got divorced. Oh, it was because I was 12 years of age. They sent me here. So I went to all of these supposed versions of things. And I just said, well, none of those are alleviating this type of emotion. Let me just sit with the emotion in my body and go toward the belief, which is just I'm abandoned. And that took me into the first memory, which wasn't really traumatic, funny enough. It was just the first time that my parents had left me with a babysitter. And this way that my mom said bye and left, and then after that my dad turned around and left, and this woman who was really nasty standing there supposed to take care of me, I just started bawling, like shaking. My body started like really crying. And Sylvia, after that, it was gone. It was completely gone. And even in my relationships where at times I had felt that type of an anxiety or type of an abandonment, from that day on, that was gone. Woof, gone. So that, you know, brought the piece of the integration for me, because I experienced it firsthand in my own experience. Then it's awareness integration actually started with that process, which is, God, I found the gold. Now, how do I even get to the goal? What else is important? It's how do I make up the stuff? Because I made it up. I made up on being abandoned. It wasn't. It just left me with a babysitter for a couple of hours. So then it was like, okay, how do we come up? And then how can I be responsible for the distinction between thoughts, emotion, and behavior? It happens so simultaneously that most people do not have the experience and the distinction between these three things. Most people start their conversation with I feel, and then use a thought or a verb or an action concept afterward. And people are not necessarily in tune with their emotions and feelings. They lump everything together.
So true.
So the distinctions were important, because if we can distinguish between them, then when there's a problem, we can go back and find out which part had the problem and fix
it. I agree, and I'm gonna stop you right there, Dr. Zane, just because we're going into another break. And when we return, I want to continue this conversation, because it really is about how emotions have become.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I apologize, everyone. We ran out of a little bit of time there, and I was just going to say that, you know, you've hit on a very strong point, Dr. Zane, because that sitting with your emotion is so huge. And yet in our society, especially here in the United States, it is the last thing that people are willing to do. And they will medicate themselves away from their emotions. They will distract any way, shape, form, or fashion that they can without recognizing that it is our emotions that open the door to our freedom and to our into the realm of true inner peace and well-being. They are an invitation for wholeness. And what I love about your process is that you've presented a strategy and a structure that anyone reading your book from a conscious perspective that really wants to change their life, if they dedicate themselves to using their process, I can totally see how this would reset one's life. Because as you said, when you sat with that emotion, it popped. Right? You know, it was a little bit cathartic, but it was not an overwhelmment. You came out on the other side, and then you didn't have to revisit it, which that is so beautiful. So, you're so welcome. So, Dr. Zane, you know, I know we're in the last part of the show. I can't believe this has gone so very, very quickly. I just want to let everyone know, remind everyone about the name of title of your book. It is called Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. I'm speaking with author Dr. Hujan Zane, and her first name is spelled F-O-O-J-A-N. Last name is Z, as in Zet, E-I-N-E. And Dr. Zane, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about you, especially those who live in the Southern California area?
Sure, they can go to my website, fujan.com, F as in Frank, O-O-J-A-N.com, and all the my YouTube channel is there, all the social media is there. I do coaching via Skype around the world, and psychotherapy in the state of California, if, you know, if they're here. And if people would like to get the book or even create groups around the book, any of those, I'll be glad to work with people through all of the awareness integration path.
That is such a beautiful, generous offer. I may be contacting you about setting up a group here because, as I said, this is such a great structure that it looks like it's almost foolproof. I mean, unless you just don't do the process, this really does hit all of those points that other processes I've looked at haven't been able to do as succinctly. And so when someone is using your book, using the process as outlined here, how do you suggest that they work with this book? Do they need to go through each area in a chronological order as it's set up in the book, or can they just begin with any area that they believe they are most challenged with?
The reason I set it up in that way is because I brought them the most areas that are not necessarily very personal to us at the beginning, so people can train themselves in distinguishing between thought, emotion, and action, plus to go through these processes where they can contain their emotions, sit in their emotion, and not get overwhelmed. Because by the time they get to intimate relationships, sexuality, mother and father, and their own self, those are loaded. Most of the time, those are loaded. So I want them to get some exercises and get their muscles, built before they go into really, really deep places where I don't want them to re-traumatize themselves. That's why it's set up in that way. Mm-hmm. And then goes from people we don't know to friends, and then become closer siblings and intimate relationships and children and, career. And then we go into mother and father and self. And then with the self, you could do addictions, illnesses, everything that we deal with ourselves. And then we'll go beyond ourselves, which is nature, universe, death, God. You know, those are things we constantly deal with. And then clean up and then come back and re-envision life and move forward. So if someone cannot tolerate and that just wants to go to the area that they want to go to, they're more than welcome. But that was the reason of the design of the model, is because of that. So people learn, build their muscle, contain their emotions before they get to the really, really, you know, charged up one.
That's a really great point. You know, when I looked at it, I was like, I want to go right to the relationship with myself or with love, you know. But, you know, I've done a lot of that earlier stuff. But I think that that makes perfect sense, especially because right now, boy, everybody's emotional stuff is already coming up almost without any effort. It's probably best to do it in the chronological order of the book if you're new to doing that inner healing work and really want to make some changes within your life on a conscious level. So how have some of your clients, how have some of their lives changed since having interaction with the awareness integration method? What are some of the tangible results people have experienced in their personal lives?
At this point, we've done three studies. One we did with the divorce group, which alleviated depression and anxiety and brought self-esteem up. But we've done that in a workshop setting. We've done with people in deep, deep therapy, where a client that I had, who had the horrifying sexual and physical abuse with a father who was an alcoholic and consistently threatened to commit suicide. The mother left and abandoned the child, and then they went and lived with the uncles, and they also abused her. And I saw, with that depth of abuse, I saw her for about 30 sessions, and then I saw her again after 4 years. And I have all of these on videos, and she, you know, gave me permission, which I use it when I teach therapists, and completely different person. She's successful. She has her own business right now, moving forward. None of those issues have even come up and creeped up for her. We did a study with Cal State Long Beach, 4 classes, 110 people, and we've created astonishing results of also, again, and that was done in a self-help model, the same way that the book is, and those will be published soon. But both professors said that they were amazed with the percentages that they came back. And I have one of the clients who also, again, sexually abused, abandoned, an immigrant, went to 3 different countries and kind of just was suicidal. And working with this model, she dropped everything. She always felt that she had no sense of belonging. She went around the world for 10 months and felt like she belonged to the world alone, as a, you know, 30-year-old female. And then she found the passion of her life in South America, working with children. So she's back in Los Angeles, opened up her own child care center, and she's vowed that she's going to take the awareness integration and put it in the education system for the kids, starting for the children to become aware and responsible about who they are and how to release traumas as soon as it gets created for them. So these are amazing, amazing stories.
What a gift to be able to offer this to young children, because here's the thing, we cannot avoid challenges in our lives. That's just part of the life fabric. We can't avoid traumas, real or perceived traumas, but to be able to, like the animal kingdom, be able to release them and move on is something that we have not been able to really learn and understand how to do. And I feel that this process that you have created is such a gift to humanity, especially now. I mean, there's so much anger right now out there in the world, and bitterness, and this perception of what is just and what is not just. And this is what we need, so that we, because all of that sense of injustice, that is all from our pain from the past, you know, and it just is, our old triggers are firing up from what we've experienced and what we perceived as having been unjustly or unfairly treated in our past, and these expectations of how life must be in order for us to feel safe and content within ourselves. And this is like a key that is going to unlock the door for
many souls here on the planet in such a beautiful, eloquent way. So thank you so, so much for creating this process. And I'm excited to see how life changes for those who read your book and implement this work, and to see this work expand around the globe. So thank you so much, Dr. Zane.
Thank you so much, Sylvia, for this opportunity, and thank you for reading and working through it and really talking to me from your heart. That's all that matters.
Well, you know, it's all about the heart where I come from, so thank you for that acknowledgement as well, because, you know, I believe with you. I believe that everyone deserves to be happy, and otherwise, why would we pursue that so much, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We deserve to be happy. And on top of the deserving, I think we're all responsible to make ourselves happy. So if we become responsible and accountable, then we're not waiting for the world to create the happiness. We won't sit in that victimized place. And we will create the happiness and the, you know, the joy and the love that we desire, and then for ourselves and then people around us.
Exactly. And this is so helpful for those of you out there who feel stuck in your life and feel trapped in your life. I know that I've seen that quite a bit in working with some of my clients, as they're like, you know, everyone wants to get out of their pain. And sometimes the choices we choose, or quite often the choices we choose, only creates either more pain, or it makes our life so very small. When I think what people really want more than anything, more even than getting out of their pain, is just the freedom to be themselves and to feel safe in that. And I think that what you've provided definitely does provide that as a roadmap. And so I'm very excited. So the book just came out this month, correct?
Yes, it just came out beginning of April.
Okay, great. So everyone, please go. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Again, the book is Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. Dr. Zane, thank you so very much for being with us today. I really appreciate
you
tremendously. You're so welcome.
Thank
and everyone,
you, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. And everyone, thank you for joining us and listening in. And please take all of this to heart. It's in your best interest to do so. Know that I love you, and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye for now.